Very warm good morning to all of you. Please be seated. Today, the first Sunday in Lent, a time, a season for self-reflection, self-examination. Also a time for us to prepare to celebrate the greatest event in all history, which is the resurrection of the dead of our Savior, Jesus. And so our topic for today, repent and believe. Let us repent of the past and believe for the future. Let us pray. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, we bless you. This is the day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And Lord, as we turn to your holy word, we ask, Lord, that truly you speak directly to us. Give to us ears to hear what you are saying, hearts to receive your message. Thank you, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The call to repent and believe came from none other than Jesus himself. Mark, the gospel writer, says this: Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Mark 1, 14 to 15. Jesus says, now is the time. Now is the time for us to repent and believe. The Jewish people who lived in the time of Jesus thought that they were spiritually fine. They were sons of Abraham, the great man of faith, the father of faith. They had standing in Jerusalem this magnificent, awesome, splendid temple of God. Spiritually, they were proud. They felt all was well. But Jesus said to them, repent. In my own case, I also thought all was well. I was born into a Christian family, baptized at birth, confirmed at the age of 14 in this cathedral. Outwardly, everything was fine for me. But inwardly, everything was wrong. God saw straight into my heart, the same way Jesus saw straight into the hearts of the Jewish people. And what God saw in me was the heart of a hypocrite. I pretended to be a Christian, but inwardly, I had no faith at all. I needed to repent. So to the Jews, Jesus said, repent, now is the time. Up until that time, there was a great prophet in Israel, his name John the Baptist. Mark 1:6 says that his clothing was special. He wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. To us, this sounds like a very strange fashion statement. But to the Jews in the time of Jesus, when they saw this clothing, it was an immediate flashback to the past. Because in the past, there was also a very great prophet in Israel. His name, Elijah. And he wore similar clothing. We read that in 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 8. Centuries separated Elijah and John. After centuries, you would expect clothing fashion to change. But no, here were the two men preaching the same message of repentance, wearing the same clothes, both calling the nation to return, to repent. And how about us? Who is calling us today to repentance? Globally, more than 2 million people already have died in the COVID-19 pandemic. And amongst the living, people have lost their jobs. The whole world has changed. Isn't God calling us to repentance? How much more suffering do we need to experience before we will return to the Lord and break with our sin? You may ask, repent of what? In the Old Testament reading for today, God highlights this sin of his people Israel. In Isaiah 48, verse 4, he says that they are people with necks of iron and foreheads of bronze. In other words, they were stiff-necked, stubborn, refusing to believe the words of God. Are we the same? We hear the Bible, we even read the Bible, but are we stiff-necked? Do we refuse to believe what we read? Jesus said, "Repent, the time is now." For us, more than ever, the time to repent is now. In this season of Lent, let us make the best use of it. Confess our sins. We need to repent of the past and also believe for the future. We look again at Mark 1, 14 to 15. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." When we read these words, we may think there's a disconnect. It's like two different ideas suddenly being put together in one paragraph. The first idea, John the Baptist was arrested. Second idea, Jesus said, repent and believe. But when we look closer, we find it's not disconnected, but in fact, it is one continuous idea. The idea is this. Firstly, John was arrested. Shortly after he was arrested, he was actually put to death. He was killed by King Herod. And after he died, Jesus said, repent and believe. Do we understand this? That the old gives way to the new. The old was John the Baptist preaching a baptism of repentance. He was killed by King Herod. And most likely King Herod thought, I've killed the man, I've killed his message. But no, because the old gave way to the new. Jesus came preaching the same message of repentance. He carried on from the past, but Jesus added something new. Jesus said, not only repent, but also believe. Believe in the gospel, believe the good news. We live in a world that is so action-packed. Things happen so fast. It's shocking. It's very hard for us to digest all that's going on. I don't just mean the alarming death rate globally from the pandemic, but even this. 5 young people killed in a car crash on the second day of Chinese New Year. Death can come so unexpectedly to people we least expect. Healthy young people. Is there good news? Jesus says yes. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. We can have eternal life. We need to believe. And our belief gives us not only eternal life, but it gives us the abundant life here and now. When Jesus was on earth, he did miracles, so many miracles. He did good for the people constantly. He healed the sick. He opened blind eyes. He even raised the dead. And nothing could stop him. Nothing except one thing. This one thing, unbelief. Unbelief. Matthew 13:58 says, Jesus did not perform many miracles in his hometown because of the unbelief of the people. They were stiff-necked. How about us? Do we believe that God has a plan for our life? Do we believe that he created us unique for a specific purpose which only we can fulfill? Do we believe that our tomorrow can be better than our yesterday? You know, just the other day I was praying and I was asking the Lord about success. What does it mean to be successful in life? And the Lord brought to my mind John the Baptist, because John the Baptist was an extremely successful man. He had an extremely successful ministry. Mark 1:5 says that John was so successful that all of Judea and Jerusalem went to him, confessing their sins. they went to him to be baptized in the River Jordan. I asked God, how did this happen? You know, it's not as though John was preaching a very popular message. Blessings, very popular. But no, John did not preach a popular message. Instead, he preached a very hard-hitting message of repentance. And yet, all of Judea and Jerusalem went to him. And I said, Lord, how did this happen? As I prayed, the Holy Spirit gave to me understanding that John was successful because he was living in the anointing. He was living in the power of the Holy Spirit. John was special in that even before he was born, when he was in his mother's womb, he was already filled with the Holy Spirit. That's Luke 1:15. So John lived in the power of the Holy Spirit, and he lived for a specific purpose. He lived to do the exact thing that God created him to do. He lived to fulfill God's calling upon his life. And what was this calling? Mark 1:2-3. Mark quotes the prophet Isaiah. Centuries earlier, Isaiah had prophesied that God would send a man in the wilderness to prepare the way for the coming king, to make his path straight. You know, literally, this is a picture of building a road. If you think of the wilderness, the desert, it's not flat ground. There are mountains, there are valleys. Isaiah said, God will send a man to bring down the mountains, to raise up the valleys, to make a flat road for the coming king. Spiritually, this is what John did. He brought down the mountains of pride. He raised up the valleys of depression. He prepared in the hearts of people a road of repentance. And through this road of repentance, the people were being prepared to receive the coming king, Jesus. John was successful because he knew God's calling upon his life and he lived in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, even when it was time for John to die, I believe, no regrets. John actually died doing the very thing that God made him to do. God created him to call people to repentance. And John pointed out the sin of King Herod. King Herod sinned by marrying his sister-in-law. John didn't soft pedal. He didn't sugarcoat the words, but he said bluntly, this is sin. The king should not marry. No man should marry his sister-in-law. For angering the royal couple, Herod and Herodias, for angering them, John lost his life. But I believe no regrets. Because for John, better to die doing the will of God than to live without purpose. For myself, I've received many different prophecies. People have prophesied over me independently of each other. They don't know each other, but they have prophesied the same thing. And perhaps I can explain this to you. The easiest way is to actually share with you a vision that one of the people had when he was prophesying over me. He had a vision of a campfire, open air scene, campfire, people sitting around the fire. In his vision, he saw me going to the center of the fire and taking a burning log, taking it from the fire, and then he saw me go to another camp where there was no fire. And I took this burning log and I put it in the second camp and a fire began. It was kindled, it began. And in his vision, he saw me doing this again and again. As I reflected, the message is this, because in the Bible, fire is one of the symbols of the Holy Spirit. And God, his calling upon my life is to help to spread the fire of revival. You know, I've been a pastor for many years, and I can honestly say to you, I have no greater joy than praying with people to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to see them moving in the power of the Spirit with God's anointing upon their life. This is my greatest joy. How about you? Do you know why God created you? General principles, yes, we know. To believe, to share the gospel with people. But specifically, do you know why God created you in this world? This is a question I don't just ask young people when they're starting out in life, but I ask this question anyone of any age. I will ask this question. Do you know why God has created you? And if not, shall we ask God now? Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Let's close our eyes and pray. Hallelujah. Firstly, I want to pray for people who've never put their faith in Jesus. Whether you are sitting here in the church now, or you're at home with us on live streaming, if you've never yet put your faith in Jesus, but today you feel the Holy Spirit prompting you, stirring up your heart, faith is arising in your heart, then wherever you are, will you pray this after me? Almighty God, Heavenly Father, today I repent of my sins. I repent of my wrongdoing. I repent of all the terrible things I have done. Today I come in faith. I put my trust in Jesus. I believe that Jesus, you are the Son of God. You died for my sins. You were raised from the dead. And now you reign forever. Father, I come to you in faith, and I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, firstly, we pray for people for salvation. And secondly, I want to pray for you whether you're here or at home. If you want to know God's calling upon your life, let's go to Him now and pray. Let's pray. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, I pray for every person who's turning their hearts to you now, asking you, Lord, to reveal by the power of your Holy Spirit this special and unique purpose for which you made each of us. Father, your calling upon our lives. I ask, Lord, that you will reveal it and that we will hear you speaking and you will confirm it in the days to come. And Lord, that this will be great joy to us. This will be our strength to live in the purposes for which you have made us. And Father, help us to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you.